Thank you so very, very much for inviting me to come to be with you. I appreciate the invitation very, very much. I had forgotten, really. It's been scheduled for a good long while, but I was reminded of the fact that Gary Bagwell had mentioned to you all about me coming sometime, and I'm certainly appreciate very, very, very much the invitation to come. I mentioned to someone that I visited with the Harrisburg Church many, many years ago. In fact, I think it was in the late 1800s. I was here when Rob Harbison was here and visited with him. He and I were buddies, been through the years and so forth, but never preached here, but looking forward to being with you this week. And certainly enjoy being with Keith and Rita. We appreciate their hospitality very, very much. I told them that I was very happy the fact that they're living out in the country, and being able to be out there. And I traveled up from Murfreesboro yesterday and tried to take all the back roads that I possibly could. And I enjoyed the countryside and enjoyed the trip up very, very much. So I'm looking forward to staying with Keith and Rita this week and getting to know them better as well. Just a little bit about me. It's this week is not about me, but rather than say it 50 times to everyone, I'd maybe just say a couple of things. I was born in Lebanon, Kentucky, raised there until about third grade. Then my dad got a job in Louisville and spent the rest of my time growing up in Louisville. But a lot of my folks in the Lebanon area, most of which immediate family are gone now, have a few cousins and so forth, that are around. But been preaching since about 1977. I started preaching when I was 3. And I've been married almost 40 years. And got 2 grandkids. And so that's a little bit about me. My wife didn't come. She's heard me preach before, and she decided not to come. But no, she's she's at home in Murfreesboro. We got Vacation Bible School coming up pretty soon, and she's having to do some extra work for that. And plus, she's helping teach a junior high and high school girls class. And so she's got lots of preparation for that sort of thing as well. But that's a little bit about me. I'm hoping to learn more about you this week and being here with you. I think it'll be a good week for us as we study God's Word together. And it's always very, very encouraging to me to be with folks, to study God's Word. And I'll try to do my best to encourage you. I believe it's Johnny Edwards that coined the phrase that a preacher's job is to edify, not to petrify. And I'll try my best not to petrify you, but to hopefully encourage you in the study of God's Word this week. Today I want to begin by just talking to you a little bit about the idea of what it really means to be a Christian. And I think that most of us here today, I would assume, are Christians. And I think we would probably say, well, I know what a Christian is. It's someone that's been baptized into Christ. Well, that's true. And if a person is a Christian, it's because they have been baptized into Christ. And God, through the blood of Christ, has forgiven us our sins, and now we belong to Christ. And that would certainly be true. But if I was to say to you, well, but what really is a Christian? Well, you might say, well, we go to church every Sunday. Well, that's true. And if you're a child of God, then following God's Word, you go to church every Sunday to worship the Lord, to eat the Lord's Supper, to worship God, to edify one another. And that's true. But I'm going to ask you one more time. What does it really mean to be a Christian? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I think that there are some things about us that maybe we take for granted. Maybe there are things about us that we don't realize that this is really what we're supposed to be. Being a Christian is a wonderful privilege. Being a Christian is a result of the grace and mercy of God. I don't deserve to be in Christ. I've not done anything to earn being in Christ. So I've received this great blessing by and from God because He loves me, even though I've been a sinner and still a sinner. But being a Christian, when we study God's Word, it's important that we understand that there is something unique about a person that is in Christ that is so different from people that are not Christians. So let's talk about that for a few moments. The first thing I want to talk to you about is what really makes the difference about a Christian has to do with the Bible itself. There are a lot of people that make a claim to being Christian. And in fact, if you was to go around and just talk to people that you work with, go to school with, your neighbors, etc., if you just ask them this question, are you a Christian? What are they going to say? Yeah, I'm a Christian. And sometimes we will even go so far as to say, well, what kind of Christian? Meaning, are you Baptist Christian? Are you Methodist Christian? Are you Church of Christ Christian? we talk about those kinds of things. But when we read the Bible, we find that people that are Christians have become Christians because of the Word of God. Now, a couple of passages that you are very familiar with, like 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture given by the inspiration of God. Remember that passage? But when we think about that passage, it's something pretty unique about that. If you listen to it real close, it says, each and every Scripture is given by the inspiration or being God-breathed from God. And that inspired Word is profitable for something. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, a Christian, he can be thoroughly equipped, completely furnished, has everything he needs to be a godly man. Now, when I think about that, I think about people who claim to be Christians who don't follow the Bible. For instance, have you ever known of someone that was having marital problems? And how do they handle marital problems claiming to be Christians? Well, they may go to some psychologist. They may go to some family counselor. And you know, these people mean well and they're highly educated, but they don't teach people how to have a good marriage based upon what God says. In fact, it's not uncommon for people to go to a marriage counselor, and this may sound very odd. In fact, it sounds ludicrous. But sometimes a psychologist and or a psychiatrist would suggest that an extramarital affair would help your marriage. Now, what is really a Christian? If I was to preach to you this week, if you all are having family problems, here's what you need to do. You need to go out and have an affair. Then your marriage would be great. I would guess the meeting would be over. And why would that be over? Because I'm here to preach and teach the Word of God. What are you? You're a Christian. What makes you different than anybody else? Well, you care about what this book says. Not only do you care about what this book says, you apply it to your life. So if you have marriage problems, what are you going to do about that? I'd say, save your money. Don't go to a psychiatrist or a family counselor. Go to God Almighty, who teaches us in His Word how to be a good husband and how to be a good wife and how to have a good marriage relationship. I have, through the years, by default, become a marriage counselor. I have a PhD now in marriage counseling. I have talked to so many Christians about their marriage relationship. But of recent, I've gotten kind of embarrassed by saying that I'm a marriage counselor because I'm not a licensed marriage counselor. And I don't really like that terminology because most of the time, anytime I hear anything about marriage counseling, I think those guys are just crazy. So I've decided that what I'm referring to myself now when it's in that regard, I'm a peacemaker. And I sit down with folks and I try to make peace with them. And you know what's the first thing I do? I open up the Word of God and I teach them what God says about how to make peace between a husband and a wife. Now, if you're a Christian, that's what you want to hear. Because you believe the Bible thoroughly furnishes you to every good work. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Word of God says, according to His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, I believe that. Don't you believe that? Why do you believe that? Well, you're a Christian. You believe that the gospel is the power of God to save. Therefore, everything that God wants us to do, everything that God wants us to be, everything that God thinks will help us to be the kind of people we ought to be, He's put it in this book. So we read it, we study it, we learn from it, and it changes our life. This week, to the best of my ability, I'm going to try to direct you to being a Christian and following what God says. Because that's really what a Christian is. They follow the Bible. That fair enough? That okay? And it's okay to go this way if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Second thing I'd like for us to think about is that what really makes a Christian has to do with ultimately being like Jesus. I really think that maybe that gets a little bit lost in our thought process sometimes. That We try to emulate people in the world so many times. We listen to people that are rich because we want to be rich. Young people listen to people, if they're into sports, they listen to the great athletes and they want to be like them. And we have all kinds of different heroes. We have all different kinds of people that we will listen to. And you know, when we hang around, and I understand that later today we're going to get together and be together some, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But you know, the reality is that it doesn't take but just a few moments of hanging around somebody and talking to somebody that you kind of figure out what's important in their life. Now, being from Kentucky, I asked Keith last night, or this morning maybe, if since living in Kentucky, if he had become a Kentucky fan, basketball fan. And he said, yeah, I had to be in order to talk to people at church. Well, you know, it's hard to be in Kentucky and not be a Kentucky fan. And you're not around folks from Kentucky very long until you find out if they are or are not a Kentucky fan. Now, I live in the great state of Tennessee, the land of the orange. And it doesn't take me very long to tell everybody I hate orange. I don't like Tennessee volunteer football, basketball, ping pong, or anything else. I just show them my wrist and I say, you see that blood in there? It's blue. See that blue in there? It's running blue. Do you know what a Christian is? It's somebody that every waking moment they're thinking about being like Jesus. That's what you think about. That's what you talk about. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, The text says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps." Too many times and too many places, preachers are idolized. Hey, I'm just a person just like you. I make mistakes. I have my difficulties just like you. You shouldn't idolize me. You shouldn't idolize Keith. You shouldn't idolize any man. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect example, and you follow Him. The purpose, one of the purposes He came to the earth was to give us an example, to show us that it can be done. My wife, I love her. For the longest time, she kept her little Razor flip phone. And she had dropped it in water, no telling how many times, more specifically, the toilet. And she yanked that thing out of there real quick and dry it off, you know, and it would still work. Well, I was serving as one of the elders down in Bowling Green, and one of the elders was a lawyer. And he was usually in court. And we couldn't communicate, and there'd be things that need to be talked about, discussed, and couldn't get a hold of him. So they got me to get an iPhone so we could text. You know, that was pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Because I would text him, and he would be in court, and he'd answer me back. And we'd be able to get things resolved. So my wife started watching me text, and then I started texting my daughter so I could find out about my grandson. And she started saying, "Let me have your phone. I want to text my grandson." I said, "No, just use your flip phone." "Well, no, I can't do that." I said, "Well, baby, you love your flip phone." Well, that went on for a long, long time because she just used mine. Well, finally, I got her to get an iPhone. And now she's texting grandbabies, she's FaceTiming grandbabies, she's just all in to it about grandbabies. Well, for those of you that are grandparents, I used to think that you all were just a bunch of crazy old people. Now I've got grandkids. I understand what being a crazy old person is about now. It's great having grandkids. Did you know, it doesn't take very long hanging around somebody to find out if they got grandkids. My wife, with her iPhone now, as soon as you meet her, she wants to show you a picture of her grandkids. She's got bunches of them. Now, I said all that to say this. If we carried our Bibles around like we carry around our iPhones, and if we was impressed with Jesus as we are our grandkids, do you think it'd make a difference in the world? That's what a Christian is. He's impressed with Jesus. Does that make sense? So the question is, are you a Christian? No, I don't mean did you get baptized. That's important, is it not? I'm not asking you, do you go to church every Sunday? I'm asking you, are you trying to be like Jesus? Is that important to you? Number three. I think that being a Christian also involves the idea of ultimately keeping our hearts pure. We certainly understand that being a Christian would mean, and maybe you'd even answer if I had handed you out a survey or something other, maybe one of the things you would have answered about being a Christian, you would be say, "Well, a Christian doesn't cuss or tell dirty jokes." Now, I believe that's true, that a Christian would not cuss and or tell dirty jokes. But there's something more about being a Christian than just what we would say. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And if you'll notice then, now I need to stop just for a second. I totally lost what time I started. What time did I start? I started at 9:45. And what time am I supposed to stop? When I get done? Okay. What time y'all normally get out? 11:30? Is that it? Okay. So another 35 to 90 minutes, I'll be done. Okay. Matthew chapter 15, notice verse 18. Notice what the text says. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Now, here's a simple point I'd like to make. Do you know what a Christian is? Well, a Christian doesn't cuss or tell dirty jokes, right? Why? Because a Christian makes sure he has a clean heart. You know, what you watch on TV can corrupt your heart. What music you listen to can corrupt your heart. Now, I love music. I'm not much of a rapper. I don't go for that stuff much. But the fact of it is, you can listen to country. You can listen to rock. You can listen to all sorts of music. And it can have some filth and foul and dirty. And if you listen to that, it's just dumping garbage into your heart. And to Tabari, a technology term, is the idea junk in, junk out. And what you dump into your heart is what you think about, and that's what you say, and that's what you do. Nobody ever do anything unless they first think it. And what you think is what you allow to be put into your hearts. You know what a Christian really is? A Christian is someone that begins at the very beginning and doesn't allow junk in their hearts. So you care about what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above. Do you remember that? What you put into your heart makes all the difference in the world. And the reality of it is that I can put junk into my heart and you may never see the result of it. Hypocrisy is the very concept of me pretending to be something I am not. Do you know what a Christian really is? He is not a hypocrite. What you see on the outside is a result of what they are on the inside. So, are you a Christian? Am I seeing who you really are today? Are you seeing me for what I really am today? Another point. Being a Christian really is the idea of our bodies belong to God. Now, when we think about that, I think it's pretty important for us to understand. Did I skip a point? No, I didn't. I'm good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talked about our bodies, that we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. Now, in that context, the Apostle Paul talks about taking our bodies and using that for any kind of lustful, fleshly, sensual, ungodly use. Now, the body I have now is not the body that I'm going to have over there. And John said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when He comes, we will be like Him. I'm hoping that my new body has some hair. But I don't know that the spiritual body, the immortal body, is going to have hair. I don't know what that's going to be about. Now, the body I've got now, I've got what I got. Okay? Now, I spend a little time trying to make it beautiful, but I don't have a lot to work with. I just do what I got to do. But you know what? We spend a lot of time making sure that we look good, smell good, clean up, put on something. But that don't amount to nothing in the real scheme of being a Christian. Is what do we use this body for? We either use it to the glory of God or we use it to the shame of God. And the reality is that a Christian understands that this body belongs to God, therefore I use it to His glory. And you might say, well, I bring it to church every Sunday. And we could say, yeah, that's okay. But that's not really the idea. The idea of it is that I give myself, I give my body not to sensual things or fleshly things. I give myself to God, to glorify God in this body. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, the Lord said. So therefore, when people see me out and about, you know what they're asking? Is that a Christian? Oh yeah, I know them. They go down to the Harrisburg Church of Christ. They claim to be Christians. Now look what they're doing. So the very actions in school, at work, neighbors, wherever, the way I use my body, the way I walk, the way I dress it, the way I sit, regardless of what I'm doing, this body should in some shape, form, or fashion be glorifying God, bringing honor to God. And so when someone sees me, when somebody hears me, if somebody says, that's a Christian, they will glorify God. All right. Another thing about being a Christian has to do with, ultimately, the unseen eternal things. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a great text for us to consider this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice, if you will, begin at verse 16. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, as I think about that just for a moment, I am reminded of a number of years ago, I was preaching at a place, and I'll not tell you the name to protect all the innocent and the guilty. I was preaching at a place, and the building where we worship was not too far away from a mental institution. And there were some patients there that were evidently not too bad a shape, that they would allow them to leave on Sunday and walk down the street and come to worship services. And so this one particular fella, he would come to our worship service, and he was walking up the aisle one day, and we began to watch him and notice him a little bit. He looked fine and so forth, and all of a sudden he started doing that. And whoa, what? Well, did I mention that he was coming from a mental institution? And that meant that he evidently had some issues. And really, kind of what it boiled down to, he saw things that we didn't see. And whatever he thought he saw, he was trying to fight it off. Right there in the middle of the worship place. Now, we could be unkind and we could say things like, well, he's crazy. Do you know what people say about us as Christians? Bunch of crazy people. Well, why would they call us crazy? Because we see things that they don't see. Don't we? And this very passage is illustrating the fact that we do see things that people don't see who are not Christians. Let me tell you something that we see that non-Christians don't see. How important it is to put God first in your life. But most people don't understand why you have to go to church every Sunday. Most people don't understand the idea of why would you come to church on Sunday night. Why would you have a gospel meeting, have to take up a whole week to come to church every night when it's going to be a beautiful spring, summertime time when everybody else is out in the gardens and or yards and doing all sorts of varying things, you know, and ball games and stuff. Why in the world would anybody... Because we see things that they don't see. There's nobody likes ball games better than I do. I'm a ball player from way back. But I tell you what I learned when I became a Christian. And I know it's going to be a shock to some of you because you're Big Boo fans. I have learned that God doesn't care a thing about basketball. God could care less about sports. Now, sports are good in and of themselves. Nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you what a Christian does. When there's ball game time and they're serving God time, the Christian sees the unseen. And that's first in his life. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's the national championship or if it's the little league T-ball championship. Here's the deal. When you choose with your kids, your family, to go to a ball game as opposed to worshiping God when you have an opportunity of your own group to do so, there ain't no other way around it than you have put something before God. That's as simple as I know what to say. And you know, Christians sometimes don't even see that. Sometimes Christians don't even see the unseen important things. Because the physical things, they're going to burn up. It's not going to last. God is not going to ask us in the day of judgment, did your grandson win the national championship? Yeah. Oh, wow. Come on into heaven. What's God going to ask us about our faith, about our obedience? Maybe something the Lord said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do I put God first in my life? That's what a Christian is. Now, I've got two little grandsons that I'm sure their parents are both sports nuts. My guess is they're going to play soccer and ping pong and everything else. And I'm sure Grandma is going to drag old Grandpa down to Alabama. We're going to go down there and watch them, you know, do their thing. But you know what? God, the unseen things, will have to be first over anything of this old physical world. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. But then again, a true concern for others is what a Christian is. There was a neighbor that I had when I lived in Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Gary Bagwell preached there a few years after I was there. Uh-oh, I just tore up the microphone. Okay, sorry. In the preacher's house, church owned a house there, right across the street, the guy's name was Jerry Crawford. He's gone now. But we affectionately called him Cornelius. Beaver Dam's a great little Baptist town. Great little community to raise kids in. Board of Education wouldn't allow any ball games on Wednesday nights. Wouldn't allow any ball practices where people could miss prayer meetings. That's awesome. Cornelius across the street. Here's the kind of neighbor he was. The house that I lived in was set up just a little bit higher. We had trees and stuff. And in the fall, my trees would start to lose their leaves. Well, I could be real lazy and ornery about that, because when the wind would blow just right, it would blow all the leaves off my yard down on my neighbor's yard. But I didn't feel bad about that, because Jerry, he had a John Deere tractor with all the hookup stuff, and he'd be out there all the time just cleaning up his leaves, and he'd just clean up my leaves too. He's a good neighbor. I didn't know how great a neighbor he was. He knew probably what I was doing, waiting till the wind blew. One day I heard his mower, John Deere mower, fired up, and I looked out and he was in my front yard. He was gathering up the leaves out of my front yard with his John Deere tractor. He knew he was going to have to do it later anyway, so he just got a head start on it and was in my yard. Great neighbor. Love that guy. It's awesome. And as religious a fellow he was, and he knew I was a preacher, did you know he would never talk to me about our differences or my soul? I invited him to church. I mean, he was just right across the street. Now, he was a religious fellow. He claimed to be a Christian. Let me tell you what a Christian is. A Christian will help you and be a good neighbor and maybe even get your John Deere tractor out and mow somebody's grass for them. That's fine. But you know what the real difference is in a Christian? In a person that's not a Christian? A Christian will talk to somebody about their soul. Let me tell you, if you're not talking to people you know about their soul, you're not really a Christian. Because that's what Christians do. You look in the Bible, and you find in the book of Acts, that's how the church grew. Now, they had all things in common, and they shared, and they got together, and they did all kinds of physical things. But that was secondary compared to teaching people the truth. Now, I got a question for you. You got neighbors, you got friends, work, school, etc. And you probably a very close community, a good community. Do people know you're going to have a gospel meeting this week? Do people know that you're a Christian, you're going to be here? Do people know that you care about their soul and that you want to help them to get to heaven? That's what a Christian does. And sometimes it's hard to be a Christian, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for us to speak up. Sometimes it's hard for us to really let people know who we are. There was a brother in Christ I know that in Louisville, back in the day, he worked at GE. And he had worked on the line there for 20-some years. And another fellow, too, had worked with him the same length of time. And it wasn't near to the time that they was getting ready to retire. They had a conversation one day on break. And they finally figured out that both of them were members of the Church of Christ. It took them 20 years. And you're sitting there thinking, how would that happen? Exactly. Exactly. Last point. We live in a tough world, don't we? We live in a kind of world that dog eat dog, might makes right. Most of the time, we're around people that don't believe in the golden rule. Rather, people believe in the iron rule. I'll do unto you before you get a chance to do unto me. We live in a different world in many respects. But I want to encourage us as Christians not to allow this old world to steal from us who we are. Do you watch the evening news? Do you watch Fox? Watch CNN? Watch those? My father-in-law, he's nearly 90. And a poor guy. It just drives him batty because he watches Fox News all day long and just keeps him tore up. I'm not telling you it's wrong to watch Fox News. I'm not telling you it's wrong to watch CNN. I'm not telling you it's wrong to know what's going on in the world. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter to me what you think about Obama. It doesn't matter to me what you think about the Supreme Court. It doesn't matter to me what you think about any politician anywhere in this world. I'm going to tell you something. Because they don't run this world. God does. And He is my Father. And He is your Father. And you may watch the news and you may just totally lose it. But if you'll keep faith in God and you pray to that God, He'll take care of it. And when you trust Him with all of your heart, now it saddens me when I see the things that's going on in this world. It saddens me. It makes me just, it hurts me to know that our country is becoming what it's becoming, whatever it's becoming. But it has becoming falling off of the cliff for centuries, for years. That didn't just happen the last 2 months. But one of these days, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, is going to make all the wrongs right. I still don't know if O.J. did it or not. And I remember being pretty upset about all that. But let me tell you, I'm sure I don't know all the facts. And I'm sure whatever I do know may not be correct. But I do know this. My Heavenly Father is going to make it right. If O.J. did it, He will not get away with it. Quick story, and I'll quit. My son, incidentally, I'll just tell you this, and it's probably happened more than once. The fellow mentioned in the Bible class about the little boy being taken out of the auditorium and pray for me. That was my son. It was my wife while I was preaching. And Connie Adams put that when I told him. He put it in Truth Magazine. And it's got told many, many, many times. That was my son. My son learned to pray. He was about 4 years old. We were living in Florida at the time. We came to Kentucky to visit parents and so forth. And whenever my son, at 4 years old, when he was quiet, he was into something. He was into something no good. So it was my job to watch him that day, for that time. Couldn't find him. Looked outside. And he was on the patio out there, and my in-laws had one of these tables that has the umbrella thing on it, you know? And we told him to stay away from that. So he was out there on there, and he was cranking it. He's cranking that thing. And it's opening up like this, you know? He's cranking it. So I was just about ready to get out there and just have a, you know, good talk with him. And that thing went, popped up, scared him. And he knew that he was doing the wrong thing. He knew he was at the wrong place. And so, he was smart enough that he was going to try to reverse it. To put it back down. But he didn't know about the button that you have to push before you can put her in reverse. So he's there trying to crank on that thing and he can't get it to go in reverse. And he's already on his knees. And I'm watching this, okay? He's just a few feet away from me. I'm watching it through the screen door here. And all of a sudden, while he bows and he folds his hands and he says, "Dear God, please let this thing come down." Now, I felt pretty good about that. That he was in trouble. And what did he do? He prayed about it, didn't he? He prayed about it. So I didn't have the heart to go out there and whoop him. So I told his mother. So she went out there and took care of him. But let me tell you something. It's very, very important. Paul said in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. with our Lord who said that we should not get discouraged. We should always pray. I don't know what's going to happen to this country. Neither do you. But I'm going to trust in a God who's the ruler of all things. And I'm going to pray to Him. And I'm going to pray for what's best. And I'm going to trust Him that He's going to do what's best. That's a Christian. Are you a Christian? Do you pray? Do you trust your Father? That's a Christian. You've listened so patiently today. I appreciate that very, very much. I might have gone over just a hair. Probably did. Sorry. Brother Keith is going to keep up with all the minutes that I go over. Then next Sunday, he's going to slice that off of his sermon. Right? You see him shaking his head. I'd hold him to it. Thank you all for listening this morning. I want to put a few notes. I saw some notes on the board there a moment ago. Similar type notes. If you're here today and not a Christian, you've never been baptized into Christ, here are some things that might help you, to encourage you. Well, let me say this. Maybe you know what you need to do. Maybe you need to do it today. Don't put it off. Become a Christian today. There's water in the baptistry. I'm sure there's clothes on both sides, male or female. Brother Keith, one of these good members here, will baptize you into Christ. You can rise, every sin washed away. But maybe you're a Christian. But maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe we need to pray with you. Maybe we need to pray for you. Maybe you just need to go home and you need to pray to God yourself. I hope and pray that today we will all be Christians. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come and stand and sing.